Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Well, I hope you have enjoyed hearing great testimonies and great stories of faith throughout our Storyteller series. I hope it's been a blessing to you. You know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is a lesson in foundations. Construction began in 1173 there in Pisa, Italy. And that tower was designed to be a beautiful tower for a cathedral. And by the time the builders reached the third story, they realized, Houston, we have a problem. They noticed that something was terribly wrong. The tower was leaning. Why? Well, it was leaning because it was built on unstable ground, a mix of clay and sand and shells. So the foundation was only about 10 feet deep, which is far too shallow for heavy construction like that tower. Well, over the centuries, the engineers have tried to correct it, but the lean of the Leaning Tower of Pisa has just become part of its identity. In fact, if they were to fix it, their tourism would fall through the ground because there is really nothing else to draw people to that area. So even as that major stabilizing work was done, that tower still leans today. But got to give them credit, the tower has stood for over 800 years. It just leans about 18 feet from where it should be. Well, one day the experts say that tower is going to fall, and hopefully that won't be anytime soon. You know, that tower has become really a permanent reminder to people of what happens when you build on the wrong foundation. Now, Jesus told us a similar story to the one about the Tower of Pisa, because the concept really is not all that new. And more than a lecture in architecture, Jesus is giving us a story, I think, that really speaks to the foundation of our life. We're in our final sermon today in our Storyteller series. And so I want to invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to begin a brand new series in a couple of weeks, but this is this final message, but I think it's such an important one for us to hear. Upon what do you build your life? That's a question worth asking. Upon what do you build your life? It's one we're going to explore today. And the question I think is really important. Now, the story we're going to see today is recorded in Matthew. It's kind of the closing crescendo of the great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. In the Gospel of Luke here, it closes out what's called the Sermon on the Plain, chapter 6, verse 7, and going through verse 49. The truth is, this simple story is profound. In fact, the direction of your life is really kind of spoken about in this story. And though the story is fictional in nature, it's not fictional at the same time. It's a reality in your life and in the lives of those around you. So I want us to look at the setup for the story today, beginning in verse 46 of Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So that's the story, or that's the setup for the story. So Jesus has been teaching his followers, and here he emphasizes the fact that there are people who claim to follow him. They claim to be Christ's followers. They claim to be his disciples, so to speak, and they call him Lord, Lord, and it's mentioned twice there. He says it two times to emphasize the intensity of the affirmation. But they don't do what he says, Jesus says. In other words, their mouths say one thing, Lord, Lord, but their lives give testimony to something totally different. So Jesus says there are people who are, quote unquote, following him, but they don't do what he says. Obedience is not a mark of their lives. And so Jesus asked the question, why? Why? That question of why is both Why do you do that? And why do you think that works? Why do you think that's a workable solution? And to prove that that kind of thinking that he demonstrates there is really not solid thinking, to prove that it is really unstable thinking, Jesus says in verse 47, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. There are three participles in the verse that we don't want to miss. Coming, hearing, and doing. True followers of Jesus Christ do those three things. They don't do one of them. They don't do two of them. They do all three. We have to come to Jesus. We have to hear or listen to what Jesus says. And then we must put into practice what he tells us to do. That is what authentic discipleship looks like. What it really means to be a real, genuine, true and trustworthy, solid follower of Jesus Christ. To not do those three things is really to miss what it means to be a follower of Christ. So to help us take in those words and to understand the seriousness of what Jesus is saying about coming to him, about hearing what he has to say and doing what he says, Jesus tells us a story. So look at verse 48. Jesus says, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So I want us to reflect on that story for a few moments this morning. The way that Jesus sets up the story is really binary in nature. There are only two alternatives. Jesus doesn't present, nor does he ask you to find a third way. So we have to think about it in light of only two ways, only two choices, and not try to add to Jesus' story to make our story fit. To say, well, yeah, but my situation is different. So let me share with you some takeaways from Jesus' short little story that the master storyteller tells us. But we don't want to miss these. These are really important. Here's the first takeaway. Everyone builds a life. Everyone builds a life. All right, so Jesus tells us about two men. And what does he say about these two men? Well, first of all, that both builders built a house. All right? So both of the people in the story built their own house. They had the desire to have a new place, to have a new house. And because they had this desire within them, they proceeded to build a house. And Jesus tells us that the wise builder built his house. He tells us that the foolish man built his house. And we could kind of infer and receive from this story that the building of the house represents the building and the direction of our lives. All right, so building our life. Both builders built a house. Both builders built similar houses. We also see that from the story. There's nothing in the story that indicates that the two houses were different. There's nothing that distinguishes the two houses from being different from each other, being unique from each other. And look, there appears to be no external advantages to one house over another, just looking at the house from the outside. Both are built thinking, hey, we've got a good plan, got a good floor plan here. I think this is going to stand the test of time. Both houses looked right from the outside. Maybe, who knows, maybe they got their own little Fox and Jacobs little floor plan, and maybe they are identical in nature. I mean, just identical houses in design. Nothing really in the story says that they're different from an outsider's perspective. You got two houses, or we might say you got two types of people or two kinds of lives, two lives. You know, there are many people in our world today that are building their lives, and they're building their lives in various ways. Right here in our own community, we've got a lot of people who are building, not just building houses, but they're building their lives. And the people who are building their lives may look like all the other people building their lives. In fact, you may look at them and think, hey, they're kind of like me. You know, they seem to be like me. So you look at your life, you look at their life. Well, in the story, we see that both builders built their houses in the same general location. Again, it's a fictional story that's told by the storyteller. But based on what happens in the story, it appears that the houses are very close to each other because they are going to face the same tempest. These houses, again, are kind of pictures of our lives. Everyone is building a life, whether you live in Dallas or Los Angeles or London or Beijing or Amman or Kyiv. People are building their lives. They're building their families. They're building their worldviews, the way they view the world around them. They're building their faith. Doesn't matter if they're a follower of Christ or an atheist, they're building a type of faith in their life. And so building your life really is a universal concept. No matter where you live in the world, everybody is building some type of life. But there is another reality from the story that we don't want to miss. It's important for us to understand, and here it is. Everyone faces storms. Everyone faces storms. So Jesus tells us in the story that these two men build houses. But like any place in our world, storms can arise. And when they do, they can wreak havoc and devastation and destruction on a home or a life. Verse 48 says that when a flood came, the torrent struck that house. So the first man builds his house, and the storm comes, and the floodwaters rise. But that wasn't only for that man. Because their houses are somewhat close by, the second man faces the same situation. And verse 49 says that the torrent struck that house. So both houses that these men are building that kind of look the same are in the same general area. And that storm comes, that tempest comes and rocks both of those houses. And the rains came and the streams rose and the wind blew and it beat against the house. So it appears to be very similar storm conditions. It doesn't seem that one had an advantage over the other. When you think about that in our lives, we know that storms come to all people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So these two builders basically are walking the same pathway so far. Both men wanted to build a house. Both of them have their blueprints. Both go about working hard and really putting labor into it, and they build their house, and eventually both homes face a storm that comes. A storm that ravages the house, ravages their lives. But they have two very different storylines. Storms have a way of revealing things about our lives. You know, when storms come, they begin to put houses to the test. When storms come, they also put our lives to the test. So I want to be honest with you today about some personal struggles in my own life. All right, I want to share with you some things that just kind of fit where this story is, because You know, I've been a pastor for a long time, but a lot of times people hold pastors up on pedestals, but I need you to understand something. We're human beings just like the rest of you. And I've had experiences in my life where I struggle. I struggle in my faith. Now, I got to tell you something. I know what I believe. All right? I know what I believe. I was raised in a home that taught me faith and taught me the Word of God. I've been going to church since before I was born. I mean, I've been a part of church all my life. I've been to two seminaries. I've studied the Bible all of my life. I know what I believe. I know who God is. I know what Christ can do in a person's life. I also know and firmly believe in a miracle-working God. And I believe in a miracle-working God who tells me to put my trust in Him. I believe in the Word of God that says to me, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah. So I know all those things. And I'm not trying to brag about biblical experience and background. I'm just kind of setting the stage for what happens in my life. Because I will tell you that in my own life, when family members of mine have faced medical issues. And you guys know, I mean, we've gone through some recently, but it's not the only ones. We've gone through many over the course of our life and with our kids going through medical issues and things like that. And sometimes those medical issues have been severe. And I have to be honest with you, in those times, I don't necessarily feel as secure and solid as maybe my education resume might tell me I should feel. Because what happens in me, and again, I know this doesn't ever happen to you, but what happens in me is my anxiety rises to a very high level. And when I say it rises to a very high level, oftentimes I'll say it this way, it goes this high. Why do I say that? Because man, it just seems to just all kind of get up in my throat. Now again, I may be the only person who feels this, but I just get to where my anxiety rises in me. And what happens is I oftentimes allow my mind to run. I allow my mind to run, and my mind oftentimes does not run to God, but my mind runs to fear, and my mind runs to more anxiety, and it just builds up in my throat and in my chest. And I'll say at times, I'll say, Lord, I know I can trust you. I mean, I'll say it out loud. Lord, I know I can trust you. And God, I know I believe in you. I remember one time one of my kids was going through a tremendous physical crisis. And I could not sleep all night long. And all night long, I'm in bed going, God, I know I trust you. God, I know I believe in you. But God, it feels like my anxiety and my fear is winning. And I said this, Lord, I preach about these things. I tell other people how to deal with this in their life. But here I am laying in bed, struggling to trust you. Why do I feel that way? Because storms test our faith. And what happens with me is after the storm subsides and everything moves out of my throat, I have a wrestling match in my life. I have a wrestling match in my spirit, in my soul. What happened? Why do I believe these things about God, but I struggle so much? And each time, I have to go back to the same place. Every time, I have to go back to the same place. And here's that place. I have to remember that my feelings and my anxiety are fickle. But my foundation is solid and strong, even when I'm not. the foundation upon which I stand, upon which I build my life, is strong, even when I am not. Now, for some of you, that may think, you may think to yourself, well, I'm not sure this church I ought to go to if that guy's got that kind of problem. I mean, hey, you can do what you want to do, but I'm just being honest with you, and probably there's somebody in the room that says, hey, that's me too. That's where I am. Our emotions, our feelings, they just seem to grab hold of us. Well, I want to talk to you today about, as we kind of wrap up, I want to talk to you about the foundation that makes all the difference. You see, just as I have to remind myself that the foundation is critical, I also have to remind myself that my feelings and my emotions and my anxiety are fickle. They are not trustworthy. But the facts of my faith and the foundation that my faith is built upon is very important. And Jesus shows us that clearly. And he contrasts these two men in the story, but really he's contrasting two foundations. Look again in verse 49. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. You see, when you build on a weak foundation, don't be surprised. When you build your life on a weak foundation, don't be surprised when life begins to falter and crack. And cracks appear, and after cracks appear, things begin to crumble. And there are many foundations that people in our world are building their lives upon. J.T. English, in his book, Remember and Rehearse, a book I so enjoyed earlier this year, talks about foundations and philosophies that people build their life on. And let me just list some of these for you. One is romanticism, that says you are what you feel. Then there is consumerism, you are what you have. Rationalism, whatever seems reasonable must be true. Pragmatism, whatever works must be true. Individualism, you are the center of all things. Hedonism, pleasure is the center of meaning and purpose in life. Deconstruction, institutions and traditions and rituals that came before you should be viewed with skepticism and doubt. Perfectionism, you have to be perfect to be loved. Postmodernism, truth is found in your perspective and your own personal experience. Progressivism, things are getting better. Fatalism, things are getting worse. Secularism, there's nothing beyond what you can see or experience in the natural world. And I would add to that list something we've seen recently, militancy. Whatever is contrary to my thoughts, I must destroy, I must kill. We just see this over and over and over again. And these foundations are what many people are building their life upon. They're building their life on these types of foundations. And all of them seem to have some sense of logic in one way or another, but ultimately they end up being built upon ground without a solid foundation. And when you build your life on a weak foundation, things begin to crumble. Now, I got to tell you, that's why personally I'm so irritated with preachers who are trying to reinterpret biblical sins, saying that they're no longer sins anymore. Because what they're doing is they are preaching lies, asking people to build their lives on a foundation that is a lie, because they're trying to reinterpret everything to fit the culture today. And sadly, people are going to find out that that is a weak foundation that will crumble. When you build on a weak foundation, things crumble. And what should you expect? Foundation is critical. A few summers ago, my family went to the beach for vacation. And so my son and I decided to race down the beach. And so we raced down the beach, and I pulled my hamstring, preventing me from catching up with him and winning the race. That old body of mine, you know how it is, trying to beat a young man. But have you ever tried to run on sand? Have you ever tried to run on mushy ground? You know it's hard to find footing. Why? Because sand moves around, it shifts, it's not solid, and it washes away. And if you try to build your life on sand without a solid foundation, you're going to have trouble. And when you build your life on shifting ideas and shifting philosophies and shifting interpretations of what God really meant in his word and shifting trends, you'll find it does not hold up, especially when the storms of life come your way. But Jesus presents an alternative back in verse 48. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. The builder digs deep down. He puts in the effort. He does the hard work. He goes the extra mile, all to put his foundation upon rock. If you build your house, you have a choice of location. Are you going to build the place that you eat and sleep and live on a weak foundation, or are you going to build it on a solid foundation? In other words, are you going to build your house on sand or build it on rock? Chances are you're smart enough to know that you need to build it on solid rock. It's the kind of foundation that you want for something that will last a long, long time. This past summer, our family was in Charleston. And out in Charleston, there are... out in the harbor there, there's a place where there are three forts. Some of you remember the movie Glory. Great movie. Matthew Broderick, Denzel Washington. It's about the 54th Massachusetts, Black Regiment, Civil War. And the final scene of that movie takes place right outside of Charleston at what's called Battery Wagner. And the 54th Massachusetts lost several men, but they claimed immortal glory. Battery Wagner sat there on the side of Charleston Harbor. In the middle of the harbor is where Fort Sumter is built, and that's where the Civil War began at 4:30 a.m. on April the 12th. On the other side of the harbor is where Fort Moultrie is located, a Revolutionary War era fort. But Battery Wagner, that's on the other side of all three of those, one, two, three in a row there, Battery Wagner was built on sand. And you can't go visit it today because it has washed away. Fort Moultrie, Fort Sumter, I've been to both of them. They're built on a rock and they still stand today. So it is with our lives. The word that Jesus uses here for rock is the word Petra. The kind of rock that he's talking about there is not just a stone or not just a boulder. It is a large expanse of bedrock. It's the kind of rock that is solid, that is stable, that is unmovable. And that's why the torrent couldn't shake it. When the storms of life come, they come to your home, they come to your life, you can stand. Even when that anxiety rises up in your throat, you can stand because the foundation you have built upon is solid. Who is he? In that verse 48, it's the man mentioned back in verse 47. I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. It's the man who comes to Jesus, hears the word, puts it into practice. Those three participles again. We have to come to Jesus. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other religion or religious person that can save you. Only one has lived and died and rose again and offers you forgiveness of sin and offers you eternal life, all to make you right with God. That is the only solid foundation. Everything else will ultimately crumble. Everything. Salvation is found in no other name than the name of Jesus. The only foundation for salvation is Jesus Christ. Don't build your life on a foundation that in the end is going to fail you and lead to destruction. So we have to come to Jesus. We must hear his words. Hearing the word of Jesus is not like flight attendant instructions when you're on the airplane, where you hear these words that are being spoken, but you're not paying attention to anything that person says. hearing that Jesus is talking about is actively ingesting what Jesus tells you to do. Hearing means listening, paying attention. Hearing means prayer, engaged with God and what God is telling you, not just what you're telling him. Hearing means reflection, meditation, application, which leads to the third word, doing. And that is put it into practice. It's acting upon what Jesus tells you to do. Whether it's something small or something big, you do what Jesus tells you to do. This is so important that you are obedient. Back in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Obedience is the mark of true, authentic discipleship. Obedience reveals the kind of ground you're building your life upon. It's not just storms that reveal the foundation. Your obedience to doing what Christ tells you to do in the Word of God is revealing of your foundation. Coming to Jesus, listening or hearing his words, doing, putting them into practice. Apart from these, you are not building your life on a solid foundation. So, the storyteller has forced us to hear his stories. And to let those stories not just be quaint little stories he tells, aren't those neat, but instead he is teaching us how to live, how to be his disciples. We need to see how his stories influence and shape our story. And certainly that is true with this story. Because one of these builders represents you today. And you are either building your life on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ by coming to him and hearing from him and doing what he says, or you're building your life on sinking sand. You're building your life on the Word of God and the truth of God, or on the shifting sands of man's ideas and false ideologies. Jesus is calling on us to think with an eternal mindset. If you build your life on Christ, eternal life awaits you. If you build your life on other ideas, other religions, other philosophies, new interpretations of the Word of God, you are building your life on a foundation that will collapse. Verse 49 says, it will end in collapse and complete destruction. That means to be away from God eternally. Right now, from the outside, all of our buildings, our lives look the same. But Jesus reminds us looks can be deceiving. Man looks at the outer appearance, God looks at the heart. And he doesn't want us to be deceived. Rather, he invites us to come to him, hear his teaching, and put it into practice. So, what kind of builder are you? Are you wise or are you foolish? Are you building your life on a solid foundation that will stand for all of eternity? Or are you taking the foolish step and building it on sinking sand? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Would you bow your head with me today? You've come to this service today. You've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You must give your life to Jesus today. You must give your life to Jesus today. Friend, I'm telling you, there's no other option. There's no other choice. Here's what I want you to do. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to go to our Connect room out here on the Commons at Glassden Room. Ministers are there right now waiting to talk to you about how you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Don't say next week or another time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to commit your life to the solid rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it mean you're perfect? No. But Christ has done the work of perfection for you. And he is moving and working in people's hearts right now. He is drawing, the Holy Spirit of God is drawing people to give their life to Jesus today. Don't push away the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to the devil who's trying to get you not to do that. But instead, go give your life to Jesus Christ today. It's the greatest decision you will ever make. Maybe today has become a day of recommitment for you. You already know Christ as Savior. You know heaven is your home. But maybe you just realize, hey, I need to be even more committed to building that solid foundation of Christ in my life. If you've come here today and you want to join our church, you also go to the Connect Room. You can join our church. If you want to schedule to be baptized, we've got several baptisms that are coming up, Sundays that are coming up. Hey, go to that Connect Room. If you are here today and you sense God is speaking to you about giving your life to ministry or to missions, go to that Connect Room. Let us encourage you, talk to you about that, help you in that journey. If you don't know what you need, you don't know where you are, what's going on, you just know God is doing something. Something is stirring in your heart. Go to that Connect Room. We've got people there that can help you to try to understand what God is doing in your life. And if you need prayer, go to the Connect Room because we've got deacons in there ready to pray for you today. Don't be embarrassed about going in there. Don't be afraid. Don't be concerned about what people think. Go in there and let God do a miracle in your life. And that will start you on the pathway to building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as I lead us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word, how it teaches us, challenges us, instructs us. Lord, help us to be Christ followers. Lord, help us to come to Jesus. Help us to hear what he says and help us to do what he tells us to do. And Lord, when those fears and anxieties rise up in our throat, help us to be reminded of the foundation that we build our life on. Lord, this world is filled with sinking sand. We need the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So God, we're asking you to help us. Christ is our firm foundation. He's the rock upon which we stand. And so, Lord, today we declare that, we believe that. But for those who need to confirm that, who need help processing and unpacking all of that in their life, give them faith to walk in that Connect Room. So, Lord, we commit this time to you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.